Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel, Miss Becca. And the Lord has blessed Buffalo Ridge with the Wakefields and their two children, of course. And so it's been a joy to get to work with the staff and the people here at Buffalo Ridge. And so we're grateful for Brother Daniel. And I thought I'd let you know that he and Becca, of course, had come with plans to go and start a church somewhere. And the Lord only knows what He will use them for in the future. Of course, all of us would try to stay close to the Lord and walk with Him and see what He leads and guides. But I did want to let the church family know that at this point, Brother Daniel, Miss Becca are, and I couldn't be happier about this, are feel that the Lord is going to leave them here at Buffalo Ridge as our staff people and be here and laboring together in the Lord's work and here in the area. And so I'm greatly encouraged by that. And so, Brother Daniel, and my his wife and my wife and I, we all met together, had a wonderful time of fellowship some time back. And so I wanted to share that with the church just in case that clarifies some things. You may be saying, well, wonder when he's going to do this. And again, anybody, all of us, we should be listening close to what the Lord leads us to do. And I'm not saying that he won't ever do that in Brother Daniel's life, but I'm tickled to death that he is staying here, and we've got great plans to work together and serve the Lord and see many great things done. He's helped so many ways already, and I know that that's only the start. So I want you to settle in with him. If you don't like him, I'm sorry, that's too bad, I guess. I'm taking this as a positive announcement. So if anybody was saying, oh man, and I'm sorry, But he's a great blessing. He's been a huge help to me as I'm coming in, and I thank God for him. So I wanted to announce that to you and let you know that we will look forward to the many great things in the future. And so I want to let the church family know. Speaking of staff, of course, I mentioned it this morning and last Wednesday night, but Brother John Mineta, who's been our bus director for over 15 years, served the Lord here faithfully. And because of some things working out and God's hand being in some situations with him, and he's thanking the Lord, as am I, thanking the Lord for that coming back to pass. But because some opportunities were, or not opportunities, but some avenues were opened up by the Lord to help him financially, then he told me this past week that he was retiring. And so one week from tonight, next Sunday night, we'll honor them in the service. And he and Miss Mineta have been tireless workers, very faithful in God's service. And we're grateful to God for that. And he's not planning to leave anywhere. He addressed the bus workers yesterday. We had a meeting with most of them and got to share his heart. And so we're looking forward to the opportunity next Sunday night. So if you want to get a card, write some words in there, give them a gift or whatnot, we'll have a basket next Sunday night out at the Welcome Center, and you can convey your thoughts and your thanks to him, and we'll honor them as well. We'll look forward to that evening next Sunday night. And then, just on a side note, we're still planning to, we're honoring everybody, I guess, we're still planning to honor the Stevenses. I told you when we first come that our plan was that next Sunday night or the next Sunday night, just real soon after we got here, I wanted to have a day when I'd preach one service and Brother Stevens preached the other. We'd have a reception. But we just have not been able to do that because I want to do it in a fashion where we can enjoy it and not everybody be afraid and worried. So it's still coming. I just don't have a concrete date for you. If I set one out there, it would just be supposings. And so we'll get that to you as soon as we can, but we'll have him back over here, and we all get to honor him and love on him. So that's still coming, but I wanted to let you know. So praise the Lord for that. Ladies, I did hear Brother Daniel mention the announcement about the ladies' retreat. I want you to mark that down. I don't remember what dates he said, but I hope you did. And mark that down. It's going to be a great time. And I think that's the one that Miss Raymond is coming for. She's the pastor's wife over in Raleigh. You're going to enjoy meeting her. She is a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady. And Brother Tim Raymond, her husband, is a genuine, kind Christian man. Pastor over there has been a really good friend to us. So you are going to enjoy getting to know her. So I challenge you, ladies, try to make that work with your schedule. And if you have some questions, you can ask Miss Leslie Farmer or the office, or somebody in the office will take care of you. Well, let's get into the Bible, shall we? Enough announcements and enough honoring and glorying and all the rest of it. So those are just some things I want to tell you. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we get into this passage, you're thinking we're going to preach a Christmas message. Well, I'm not, but it wouldn't be wrong to. But I'm going to preach about somebody that we don't typically preach about. The Bible has wonderful little stories all throughout a longer story, and this is one of them about Anna. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 36, 37, 38. Some friends of ours are BIMI missionaries, and they have a daughter named Anna. And they named her Anna after this character in the Bible, but mostly because of what it says in the end of verse number 38. And she spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And as they named Anna, praying for her, asking the Lord to let her be saved, of course, when she got to the age where she'd understand, but then also be somebody as she lived her life to turn people to Christ, show people the Lord. And she has done that as she's grown now. She's a grown adult herself. The Bible says, Luke chapter 2, verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." I want to preach tonight on a message that at the outset you'll think, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not of the age that she possibly was. A widow of about 84 years, and we understand that she would have been quite at an older age, especially if she had lived with a husband 7 years after she was married as an older teenager, and then after that spent those 84 years as a widow after that. Regardless, she was up in years. And so my temptation in preaching this, the Lord seemed to give it to me. I was at a meeting and just jotted some things down as I was looking at my Bible while some other folks were speaking. And the temptation in preaching it is to stop, because a lot of you in this room, it won't apply to you. You're not close to her age. You're not close to her stature in life. But I just couldn't get away from it. The Lord seemed to be continuing to lead in that. And so I want to preach a message entitled, God's Not Done With You. God's not done with you, because here we find a lady that maybe in some ways folks would say she's past her prime. She was beyond where she was a lot of use for the Lord, but yet she still found herself, and she continued there in the temple to give God glory and to serve Him with fastings and prayers night and day. I heard about a lady one time that thought she could do nothing else for the Lord, and so she had gotten a phone book, which in these days, that's kind of a hard thing to find, but they're still around, unless you don't think so. And she got that phone book, and she just started calling down through there, asking people if there was something she could pray for them about. Told them she was a Christian, and sometimes she was met with resistance on the other end. Sometimes they liked it, but she thought she was going to ask them if there's anything she could pray for them about, and then try to give them the gospel as she had them there on the phone, trying to find something that she could do for the Lord's glory. And I want to preach to you about this, not only that lady, but many other ladies, and specifically about Anna, this lady that gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and she spake of him to them that looked for redemption in Israel. God's not done with us. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Lord, whether we're in the retirement years of our lives, or whether we're just gearing up, or we're right in the center, Lord, this is still true. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would understand the biblical concept of learning from those that have gone a little further in the race than us and are still at a further level. Bless us, I pray tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. You understand, if a church is a biblical church, then it's got people at every age. It's got people at every stage in their lives. It's not right for a church to be all the elderly. It's not right for a church to be all the young people. There are churches that they have target groups. It's not right, but they have target groups where they say, these are the ones that we're targeting. The Bible says we have a target group, and that's if anybody is breathing, because we're supposed to go into all the world, to every creature. And so the Bible says we're supposed to reach all people. But knowing that a church is supposed to do that, Let me go a little step further to say that the biblical concept is, and the biblical instructions are, for us to learn from every generation before us, before God takes them on to heaven, so that we can see the mistakes in some cases, but then also the wisdom that they've gathered through the years, and we get to see that taught. And we're living in a day right now where most people disregard what's gone on before them, somehow thinking that the truths that they learned don't apply to us now because things have changed so fast. Can I tell you, like the Constitution of the United States of America, it was written in a broad way so that it wouldn't have to be revised every other day, and so it was written so it would handle many situations. Just in that fashion, the things that somebody of closer to 100 than 20 learned back when they were a young person, the specifics might have changed, but the principles are still the same. The principles that they learned how to deal with people and how to deal with problems will still fit to a 21-year-old day today, if only the 21 is not so arrogant that he won't listen to his 85-year-old great-grandmother. And we understand that those principles stay the same, and in this passage that we're going to look at tonight, we're going to see that Anna, later in life, she's finding her way to serve the Lord until God eventually takes her to heaven. Now, I only have 2 points tonight, but before you get too excited, there's 3 points underneath each of those 2 points. So usually I'm a 3-point guy, but I'll try to condense it down to get us where we need to be tonight. I want you to see, first of all, that very likely the world may have discounted Anna. Why? Because the Bible says in verse number 36, she was of a great age. There was one Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of this tribe, and she was of a great age. She had lived with a husband, the Bible says, for 7 years from her virginity. So when she got married as a young lady, she was married then for 7 years, and something happened, her husband passed away. And so from there on, now she's living to a ripe old age, maybe up into her hundreds, or over 100. She's lived this age, and she's serving the Lord. But if society is true, as it was now, as it was then, oftentimes as people get to those sunset years, you discount what they do or discount what they're able to do. You say, I don't know if that's true. Well, let me ask you this. If you watch much TV lately, who's selling clothes on the commercials? You see, you either watch those who's selling cars, the 92-year-old or the 27-year-old. You see who's selling home products. It doesn't matter what it seems to be selling. The person's got to be beautiful and young and have it all together. You want to know how to have a good life? If you watch TV, you'd think you had to have a beer in one hand and you had to have some of their products that somebody was serving or selling, because that's what it looks like the world puts forth as this is really living. The only truth, the only bad thing is they don't show you where those things really lead to. And so my point in saying all this is the young and the beautiful sell products. But the Bible command is that we learn from those aged. The Bible talks about that ladies are supposed to learn from the aged. From the aged ladies before them. Now listen, lest you think that I rode in on the punkin wagon last night, I never tell a lady when she's aged. I let you make those discernments. I'm sure it's ladies older than the ones with us tonight, of course. You wouldn't fit in that category. But the Bible command is, or the Bible principle, the Bible format that's set forth, is the one generation teach the next generation. And we've never had a generation as much as we do right now that doesn't want to hear from them because we've got it all figured out. Now, that's always been a trait, but never has it been as pronounced as it is now. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 31, the hoary head or the gray head is a crown of righteousness. And so the Lord looks upon that in a totally different way than society does. So our world needs to remember the value that God places on his senior saints. I see she was of a great age. Again, she was a widow of 84 years, verse number 37. Along with her age, she also has been now alone for these 84 years. Just like television uses youth and beauty to sell, they also put forth, if they're going to sell something, they put forth this typical family, this perfect little family. Everything's neat and clean. They have a mom, and a husband, a wife, 2.2 kids, and that's the way they're going to sell their product. Everything has to be cleanly and neatly put in their little box. But have you noticed that when you really know real people, they're not so neatly put in boxes? And if our church is the church that this area needs and deserves, then we're going to have to start, we're going to have to minister to people who don't fit neatly into the boxes. He said, I don't know what to do with those, preacher. I don't know that all of us know what to do, but that doesn't, just because we don't know exactly what we're going to do, doesn't get us off the hook from having to do something. And so although the world, and they don't want to admit it, they say, they talk about all this inclusion, but when you look at all their advertising, they're very exclusive, not inclusive. And we see here that she's a great age. She's a widow of 84 years. And then very probably in verse number 37, it says, which departed not from the temple. She was also probably not what the world would call cultured. So we see she was of a great age. She was a widow of 84 years, and she wasn't very cultured. You understand that my dad lives in the community that he grew up in right now. And there are people, when my dad was a boy, that were born at home, born and lived, and didn't ever get 15 miles away from their birthplace. Hard to believe nowadays, isn't it? But they're same here. People have done that. You say, preacher, that's me. Well, that's fine. But most other people have these things called cars, and they've gotten out a little further than that. But somebody would say that person's not very cultured. And this lady very well would have fallen in that category. So what I'm telling to you this evening is that very likely people would have dismissed what this lady had to offer. And perhaps you're here tonight, it doesn't matter what age you are, but you'd say, I think people dismiss what I have to offer. Maybe because of age, or maybe because of lack of experience, or maybe because of lack of education, or whatever it is. Can I just tell you that the Lord looks at things totally different than the world does? Because the world may say they have very little to offer, but God's economy is a lot different than what the world's economy is. And so we see that this lady was not necessarily valued by the world. But can I tell you my second point? God valued her. You know, there's nobody that's ever come through the doors of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that God didn't care about. You know, nobody that will ever pass, it doesn't matter if it's a little lady that doesn't have much, and I say this kindly, much education or even much experience or much sense for that matter, the little lady that you meet everywhere you go this week, God loves her. And not only that, not only does God love her as a charity case, if you're talking about the God Almighty, we're all charity cases. You say, well, she doesn't know very much. Well, compared to God, neither do you. You think about the difference between from God to us. You take the most intelligent person you know, go from that to the least intelligent person you know, and the difference between those two is not much when you take the most intelligent person you know and compare them to God. To God, we're all charity cases. God so loved the world. But that little lady that you see that doesn't know much and the world doesn't think much of her, do you understand that not only does God love her and want her to be saved? Yes, and we're all clear on that. But God also wants her to serve Him. Some of the sweetest servants of the Lord that I've known before, I'm thinking of one right now, Ab Thomas, who started Master Clubs, which is a kids' club that's used in independent Baptist churches. His son, Paul, was a Downs child and lived and served the Lord and helped Ab and the ministry there with a sweet spirit. And sometimes I wonder if somebody who's had many disadvantages in life is going to have a more wonderful time at the judgment seat than some of us will that had no disadvantages or hardly any disadvantages. So not only that person you meet this week that the world may discount, not only does God want them to be saved, but God wants to use them. This is not charity work. This is God desiring to use those people. There's a place where you say, oh, preacher, how could so-and-so be used? I don't have all the answers, but I know the one that does have all the answers. And I know that God not only wants to save them, but He wants to use them. God valued her. You know, the world doesn't always value what God does put emphasis on. Let me give you a for instance. The world doesn't value motherhood too much. But God does. And of all the things that a lady could put on a resume, which I'm not against, but of all the things that a lady could put on a resume, there's nothing that surpasses that wife and mother. If God so desires to give you children to bless your home with, If he doesn't, then you just thank him for what he does give you and you go on. The world doesn't put much value on that, but God does. And the world may not have put much value on a lady that was old by this point, was a widow for decades, and now all she did was stay in that temple. She surely couldn't know much about what was going on in the world. Yet God found a purpose for Anna. Let me show you what she did. Verse number 37, the Bible says she served God with fastings and with prayers. She was a widow 84 years. She departed not from the temple. But at the end of the verse, though, it says, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Don't lose the sight of the fact of the phrase that God uses in His Word, served God. You say, preacher, I can't do anything. I have people oftentimes, and God confirmed the message tonight right before the message by one saint of God speaking to me about something specific, and the Lord just put a little exclamation point on it. And so I'm thankful for that, but we see that many folks come to me and say, well, preacher, I can't do what I used to do. At our church we came from, we had several retired assistant pastors, not retired from our church, but that God had just moved in there. They said, well, you missed my good years. I said, I'll take these years. And many people have told me, I used to be able to do this. I used to run a bus route. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to preach in junior church. And I used to do this. And I give almost the same answer every time. I say, listen, if you'll pray, seek the Lord, get on your face in your prayer closet for the work of the Lord, I said, we'll take it. We understand, look at what the Word of God says. I'm very keen on the very words of God. But serve God. You understand that when it says she served God with fastings, with prayers, this wasn't just a favor she was doing for God. This wasn't something for any kind of meritorious jobs. She was serving the Lord. And my friend, when you get on your prayer closet, when you pray for the Lord to enlarge the coast of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, when you pray, and as I beg you to do, when you pray that God would move upon the services here, the public services, you are serving the Lord in that way that He's given you an opportunity. So please don't feel bad when you say, preacher, I can't do what I used to do. God knows that better than you do. He wants you to do what you can do. But I love the fact, as Anna was described here, she said she served God. Everybody can serve God. Many times people come and say, I can't serve Him like I used to. You don't have to serve Him like you used to. You serve Him like you can now. She served God. It wasn't just the thing that, well, that's what she was involved in. No, she was serving the King of Kings. Listen to this. If you're a greeter or you're an usher or your health doesn't even allow you to do that, you're a prayer warrior. You're somebody who goes to God. You're somebody who listens to the prayer requests that we give out on a Wednesday night, and you're writing them down, or you're taking your prayer bulletin and you're taking it as you should seriously, and you're looking at that as a ministry. My friend, you and I are serving God. We are supposed to pray one for another. We're serving God in that. And Anna, it was described to her, she served God in fastings and prayers. May we never forget who we serve. And I'm speaking to many. I understand that you say, well, that's where I'm at. Praise the Lord, you're there. Last night I saw a card that a redhead had gotten for her graduation from Denzel Rhodes, which none of you in this room know. But a dear saint of God who now has less time on this earth than he's ever spent on this earth before he'll go to glory. He wore out several cordless drills back when cordless drills weren't as popular as they are now. But around our church in West Virginia was always working on the Ripley Baptist Temple, hanging something or fixing something, putting something in the nursery or taking something down. You know how you ladies are. You want it up, and as soon as you want to get it up, you want it back down and move somewhere else. Did I say that? That was politically incorrect, wasn't it? But Denzel Rhodes had wore out lots of equipment just serving around the church. He was a deacon, and he is a wonderful saint of God. Always doing something. Not what he maybe used to be able to do, but finding something that he could do. You know, you shouldn't let the fact that you can't do all that you want to do keep you from doing what you can do. Isn't that true around your house? You may not be able to keep all 14 acres cleared off. Let the deer have 10 of them. You just mow a couple. Leave the other couple for somebody else. We see that she served God with fastings and prayers. And I'm preaching to some saints of God, and I know the score. But you say, preacher, you caught me on the downhill slide. You just came in. You caught me on the downhill slide. That's fine. I'm glad I've got you when I've got you. In God's providence, He put us together at this time. And regardless of what you do, make sure you know who you're doing it for. And as you serve the Lord, make sure you serve the Lord. Don't do what you do around here just because somebody asked you to do it. Don't greet just because somebody asked you to greet. You realize we're doing that. We're serving the Lord. Some of you help you sanitize in here before the services, and you do this, that. You sing, you play, you do all that. Remember, don't do it just because somebody asked you to do it, or because it's your slot, or because it's what you've always done. Remember and remind yourself that I'm serving the Lord when I do this. I remember distinctly we were out in the yard one time at one of the church we were serving at, and Jared was helping on some things. I said, Jared, listen. We stopped, literally stopped. I told him, I said, we're not doing this because it's in my job description. I forget exactly what we're doing, but I remember where we were at. I said, I'm not doing this because I'm the pastor. I said, as the pastor, I could ask somebody else to do it. I said, we're doing this because I want you and I to serve the Lord. We're doing this not because we have to, not because anybody expects it, just because I want to know that we're serving the Lord. And I said, I want you and I both to know while we're doing it, I want you to know why we are doing it. Listen, folks, don't get out of the eye. Don't let the idea escape you that you are serving the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't greet. I don't usher. I don't teach. The Bible says about Anna, she was serving God with her fastings and her prayers. There's nobody in this room that can't serve God in those two ways. There's nobody this week that can't say, I'm going to go to God in prayer. If a health condition keeps you from fasting for a day, maybe somebody could fast for a meal. Maybe you can't do that because of blood sugar issues or something else, but you can give up something else. Say, I'm doing that because I'm wanting the Lord to know that I'm seeking Him. There's all of us in here, we can seek the Lord and serve the Lord as Anna did. Number two, I see this, or letter B underneath there if you look at it this way. Not only did she serve God with fastings and prayers, but she thanked the Lord. Look at the end of verse number 38. She coming in that instant gave thanks, not the end but the beginning. And she in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. She said, wait a minute, you may be saying, wait a minute, I understand the serving and fasting and prayers, but are you sure you ought to make a point out of this thanking the Lord? Well, this is what the Scripture says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, in everything give thanks. People ask me, say, well, I just wish I knew what the will of God was. I wish I knew what the will of the Lord was. The rest of the verse goes on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we want to know what the will of God is? It's to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And so what she did was, not only did she serve God with fastings and prayers, but she thanked the Lord. If those of you who have children in here, be it grown or still in the house, have they ever thanked you too much? You say, whoa, I don't think they've ever thanked me at all. I'm sure they have. But if it's a legitimate, heartfelt thank you, they can't do it too much. And God thought it so important that in His Word, He put about Anna, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. You know we live in a thankless generation, don't you? You don't have to be around people for very long to figure out that we're not very grateful. May it not be said of us. I believe that starts when we continually thank God for His salvation, and then we let that spill over into thanking Him for all the other things that He does in our lives. She served God with fastings and prayers, and she thanked the Lord. And then the end of verse number 38, she spake of Him to all, the Bible says, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. like Simeon in the verses prior, just up the page a little bit, as Simeon did, she got to see the Christ not too long before her departure out of this world. I've had a couple of family members that have met famous people. Now, if you've had family members that meet famous people, I think you'll figure out, or you'll probably concur with what I'm going to say. They never let you forget it. They've got their picture with, if they were fortunate enough to get their picture made with whatever celebrity. And then if they didn't happen to get a picture, then they've got a picture of that person, at least, even if they're not in it. And they say, did you know I ever, I know, we know. Hey, did I ever tell you? Yes, you did, many times. Because they're proud of the fact that they met a celebrity. And then they'll usually say something like, oh, yeah, they're such a nice person. As if you got to know that in the 0.3 seconds that you met them. But they never let you forget it. Anna wanted to tell everybody she could, everybody that was looking for redemption in Israel, everybody who was trying to get this Messiah thing figured out, everybody who was trying to connect the dots from those Old Testament prophets and all of that to what's going on now and it's got to be soon here. She loved nothing more, I would assume, from the Scriptures. She spake of him to all them that look for Jerusalem or look for redemption in Jerusalem. I wonder what people would say about us. Look at the end of verse number 38. Would that be us? You don't have to confess, and I won't confess to you. And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I wonder if somebody would describe us that way. You get John on a roll, he'll tell you about Jesus sometime before the conversation's over. I wonder if they'd talk about me that way. I have an advantage because I'm the preacher people expect it out of me. But I wonder if people would describe us in that fashion. Or whether people would know us for years and really not have much of a, never would have thought that of them. Listen, folks, if we know somebody for multiple years and we spend much time with them, and they don't know there's something a little bit different about us, we didn't do our job. I'm not saying you got to jump up on a table the first time you meet them and preach down their throat at them, and it'd probably be less than advisable. But I am saying that if they know you for very long, they ought to know something. Even the people at work who you're not able to give an active witness to because of some restrictions, and you ought to be a good Christian and not do what the boss says not do in that fashion. Don't get on a spiritual high horse and say, oh yeah, I'm doing it for God. Well, not if you're breaking the rules of the employer, but if they work with you for multiple years, they ought to know something's going on in your life. And so the Bible says about Anna that she was quick to speak about redemption or to of him to all them that looked for redemption. Would they describe you that way? Or would that be way down the list when somebody start talking about you? Oh, he's this or she's that. Oh yeah, by the way, maybe she does. I think I remember sometime once she long time ago she said she goes to some church somewhere. I hope that's not how they describe my Christianity. So I've contrasted tonight what the world might see about an elderly lady and what God sees. So I give you this evening the fact that you're not done yet. Before you go to bed tonight, if you check your pulse, and if you've still got one, then God's still got something for you to do. If you don't, you're done. But you're not done yet. I remember above somebody's desk that I went to an office, and it's very common. It was just a crude drawing, pencil drawing of this large water bird that had taken a frog into his beak, and the frog with his front leg or arm, in this drawing it was more of an arm, was reaching out from inside this beak and holding onto the neck of that big water bird. If you can picture it, many of you have seen it. With the words at the bottom, don't quit. Listen, folks, whenever God's done with us, He'll let us know. And I believe that, I'm assuming that God had me preach this message because possibly, quite probably, there are some people who think that they're all but washed up. If you're the ones just starting this race, let's look to those ones that have gone on or that are running ahead of us. And before God takes them on, let's learn what we can. Let's be a multi-generational church where we're learning from them so that we can teach the little ones that are coming when we're old. And then if you're in that generation, would you not give up till God takes you on? Would you stick around and just keep on in the race? You say, well, preacher, I already told you I can't do much. I already told you that Anna was serving God by fasting and praying. And if you're in that ministry of praying for me, I say, may your tribe increase. I need you. The Bible says in now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, God, O God, forsake me not until I show thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Can I read it one more time to you? Now unto also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power unto everyone that is to come. Father, bless us now as our prayer. I pray for my friends that I've preached to tonight. I ask you to bless this message to their heart. Lord, the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church needs your hand upon those that are serving you. And Lord, some need encourage tonight that you're not done with them. You are not finished. Lord, when you're finished, you'll let them know. I pray, dear Lord, that we could serve you all the way out until you call us home. God, I believe you're not done with us. Would you stand together as our instrumentalists play? If God is speaking to your heart, I invite you to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you're here tonight and God has moved upon you and you say, preacher, God got me. Then why don't you come and do business with the Lord? Maybe you're one that you felt like I'm on the shelf. I don't know there's much more I can do. I pray that God has impressed upon your heart tonight that He's not done with you. Maybe you're of the younger generation and you've been guilty, as many have, of discarding and discounting what the older generation has to offer. My friend, you're missing a great treasure. May God help you as well. Remembering that in your strong 20s or 30s, you'll be in those later years of life soon. And if we'd asked that 90-year-old, he would probably say, much sooner than you think. May we value what we've got. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here tonight, and although I did not preach to this end, but you are burdened tonight because you're not saved. If that's you tonight, would you step out and come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home? If you're watching on live stream, the number is right in front of you. It was on the screen there. If you'd call, we would be glad to help you. But if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Doesn't matter whether you die a young death or an old and seasoned death without Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, you'll spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. Would you get saved before it's eternally too late? As the Lord's dealing with your heart, if you need to come, the altar's open for you.
Father, we thank you so much for the truth that we've just heard preached this evening. And Lord, the reminder of your work and all that it entails. Thank you for the example of Anna in the Bible. Lord, help us to learn from her to follow her example, whatever stage in the journey we may be. Lord, it's wonderful to know that you have a purpose for our lives. You have a power that you can want to make available to us. And so, Father, I pray that you take this and charge us up and help us to go forth this week and do your work and to trust you. And Lord, give guidance and clarity to all that you desire for us to do. Thank you for your goodness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we do thank you for being